أيوة الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, then what happened was that the Banu Thaqif, the tribe of At-Taif, they came to Medina to accept Islam because they decided that it was time to the power was in the hands of Rasulullah ﷺ, Fatah Makkah had happened, and they came to accept Islam. But they tried to negotiate with Rasulullah ﷺ, and they asked him to allow them to keep their idol for 1 year. The leader said, because we are afraid of the reaction of common people. Rasulullah ﷺ refused. So they asked for it to be left for 1 month, then 1 week, and finally 1 day, but Rasulullah ﷺ refused. So they said, then send somebody from your side to destroy it, we cannot do it. So Rasulullah ﷺ sent Abu Sufyan and Mughira bin Shu'bah, who was from Thaqif, to destroy the idol of Thaqif. People threatened them with diseases and various threats that the gods would strike them down, and they tried to break the idol. So Mughira bin Shu'bah struck the idol with his axe and then pretended to, he sort of pretended to fall down. And so people cheered and they said, ah, see, he has been struck down by the idol. He then stood up and he said to them, you are all fools. This is a piece of stone, it cannot do anything. And then he destroyed the idol. Bani Tamim, another big tribe, came to accept Islam, and Rasulullah ﷺ gave them the glad tidings of Islam, of, you know, of forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. But they said, we heard you, but now give us something. Meaning material. Rasulullah ﷺ did not like this attitude. And so when another delegation came from Yemen, he said, accept the glad tidings, because Banu Tamim have not accepted it. SubhanAllah, just shows us that, you know, the importance of niyyah, the importance of intention, that if you intend to do something, it has to be with ikhlas, for the pleasure of Allah alone, not for money and not for worldly gain. They said, we are glad to accept the glad tidings of Jannah, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah ﷺ used to appoint leaders among the people who came to him. So among the Banu Tamim, there were two major chiefs. There was one was Al-Aqra bin Habith, and the other one was Qaqa bin Ma'abat bin Darar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah ﷺ to appoint Al-Aqra bin Habith, and Umar bin Al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked him to appoint Qaqa bin Ma'abat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got angry and he said, you are saying that only to go against my suggestion. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, that's not true. Then they started arguing and their voices were raised. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi wattaqu Allah inna Allah samiyun alim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the opening ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat is a beautiful surah which really we should memorize, and which has which has some beautiful ayat and beautiful hikayat and beautiful lessons about the akhlaq of the Muslim. I have written a book called The Akhlaq of the Muslim, in which I have used Surah Al-Hajrat and explained those ayat. And it begins with this. Allah said, O you who believe, do not put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of Rasulullah ﷺ, nor speak aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless, wiped out, while you do not even know, while you perceive not. Now, this surah, the Asbab al-Nuzul, we saw, alhamdulillah, some anecdotes related to this. After this revelation of these ayat, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to, he was a big man, he was a professional wrestler, and he had also a voice to match, he was a big booming voice. So after the surah was revealed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to put pebbles in his mouth so that his voice would not come out. And he used to speak so softly that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times had to ask him, "What did you say? Say it again, I can't hear you." There was another sahabi radiallahu anhu who was hard of hearing, so he used to also speak in a loud voice. Now he literally disappeared. He was not to be seen. Now few days passed and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked other people, he said, "Where is this person?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah, he is in his house, he is just constantly weeping and lamenting, and he is constantly making istighfar and tawbah, because he says that his voice is loud and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and said that if you speak like this, Allah will wipe out your sins. So he says that I am gone, I am finished, I will be in the Jahannam." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, he said, "Go and tell him that he is from the people of Jannah." I tell him he's from people now. Now, the Sahaba used to say that whenever after that, when he used to pass by, people would say, "Look, there goes a man from Jannah," because Rasulullah gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. This is the whole issue of adab, of being respectful, treating everybody like you treat your bum chums. This is a very strange thing in today, that even these basic manners, it seems that parents don't inculcate in their children. And adults, I mean, in their 20s, 30s, they behave with zero restraint, and they treat everyone like as if they are their close pals. They speak to elders without respect, and they, you know, they're like animals, they're not even like human beings. Like not even the basic manners, and we are supposed to be Muslim. Astaghfirullah. So this Sahabi was that. So when he expressed his adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the Nabi alayhi salam to give him the bashara of Jannah. Now you might say, well, this is good. These are the stories with related to that time. What does it mean when you say, when Allah is saying, "Do not put yourself forward before Allah and the Messenger"? What does it mean to us today? Because today we are 1400 years after these events. Not putting yourself forward and not raising your voice over the voice of Rasulullah means, in today's world, means not arguing with and not going against the teachings of Rasulullah. So when we come across a Sahih Hadith, we accept it with joy and with humility. And we say, Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah ﷺ taught us and we learned. We don't treat the Ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ as something which is lacking in importance. We don't just, say, "Oh, no, it's only a Hadith." No. To say something like this is kufr, to just say it's only a hadith, as if you are denigrating and discounting the importance of the hadith. The hadith is wahi, like the Quran is wahi in a slightly different way. The Quran is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala translated into the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, commanded Aqimus Salah. This Aqimus Salah is the actual speech of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you have seen me pray. Now how did he learn this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. That also is wahi. And then he explained that whole, whatever he was taught, he explained that in his own words, in a way which is understandable to people. And he demonstrated that. And that is how we learned Salah. And this is an example that I use for, which is across the board, the same thing applies to everything else. So to raise your voice over the voice of Allah and His Rasul, or to put yourself before Allah and His Rasul, in today's world means to say that even though Rasulullah ﷺ ordered something, well, I have a different idea. I will do it differently. I will not follow the Sunnah. I will follow my own desires. I will follow my own trends and my own fashions. To raise your voice and or to say about some hadith that this is only a hadith, it is not important, and so on. These are the things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if you do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out your deeds and you will not even know. Now imagine, what does that actually mean? It means that you could be, and may Allah protect us from that, that the person could be somebody who does enormous amount of good deeds, right? He gives charity, he does hajj, he does umrah, he prays, he does all that, but when he reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he finds that his slate is wiped clean, because his tongue with respect to Rasulullah was not a tongue which was used to other. That he would refer to the Nabi alayhi salam without the respect that is due to him and his position. He would raise his voice over the voice of the Nabi alayhi salam by denying his ahadith, by expressing his own personal view as being more important and more reasonable, or more logical than whatever Rasulullah had said or any of such matters. So it is very, very important to learn adab, to learn respect, to learn how to talk, how to behave. That is more important than anything else in the. Then came the delegation from Banu Abdul Qais, from the extreme eastern part of the Arabian Peninsula. Rasulullah said to them, I command you with four, and I warn you against four. I command you to believe in Allah. And do you know what believing in Allah means? It means to testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, to establish salah, to pay zakat, and to fast in Ramadan, and to give one-fifth of the booty to the leader. I warn you against four things. Not to use four different kinds of containers. They used to drink alcohol, so alcohol was prohibited, and they were told not to use those containers and get them out of their houses. So this is as far as the instructions that were given to Banu Abdul Qais. Now there is a, in this period, there was another very interesting incident. There was a man called Sumama ibn Uthal. He was the chief of the Banu Hanifa from Najd. He was out, he was actually going for Umrah, but he was out in a, without his, you know, without a big retinue and so on. And at that time there was a Muslim patrol in the area and they captured him. Now they didn't know who he was, they just grabbed him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent this cavalry towards the Najd. So they grabbed him and they brought him from the Banu Hanifa's lands to Medina. And as I said, his name was Thumama bin Uthal. They fastened him to one of the pillars of the mosque. They, you know, tied him up. And Rasulullah, they went and informed him. Rasulullah realized who he was. So he came and he met him and he said, what do you have to say, O Thumama? He said, I have good to say, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you should kill me, you would be killing a person who has already killed somebody, so there is no blame on you. Meaning, he says, well, no, this is war. I have killed someone, so you can kill me if you want. And if you should set me free, you would do a favor to one who is grateful. And if you want property, then ask me whatever wealth you want. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not reply, and he left him there. Food was sent to him from the house of Rasulullah. He was treated very well, but he was confined. The next day, Nabi came back to him and he said, what do you have to say, O Thumama? He said, whatever I told you yesterday, that is, if you set me free, you would do a favor to the one who is grateful, and so on. Rasulullah left him for another day. Now imagine, these 3 days, this man is in the masjid. He's tied to one of the pillars of the masjid. He's seeing all the amal of the masjid, all the actions which are happening. He's seeing the salah happening 5 times a day. He's seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking to the people. He's listening to what Nabi alayhi salam is saying to the people. Maybe somebody brings a dispute to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to resolve. And he sees the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam resolves the dispute. And during this whole period, he is not ill-treated. He's confined, of course, because he is an enemy. But he's not ill-treated, nobody's, you know, beating him up and stuff. And he's getting food from the house of Rasulullah, which is, of course, it is, you know, not only is the food good enough, but it's also the honor of being fed from the house of the Rasul alayhi salam. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left him to the third day, and then he asked him, "What do you have to say, O Thumama?" And he said, "I have got what I told you." Same thing. So Rasulullah ﷺ ordered and he said, "Release him." So they released him. Thumama then went to, he left the masjid, he went to one of the date palm gardens near the mosque. He bathed. And then he came back to the masjid and he said to Rasulullah, he gave his hand in his hand and he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah." He said, "I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and I also testify that Muhammad is his Rasul. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." Now, then he said, "By Allah, O Muhammad, there was no face on the surface of the earth which more disliked by me," meaning I disliked, there was nobody I hated more than you. He said, "There was no face on the surface of the earth more disliked by me than your face. But now your face has become the most beloved face to me. By Allah, there was no religion more disliked by me than yours, but now it is the most beloved religion to me. By Allah, there was no town more disliked by me than your town," meaning Medina, "but now it is the most beloved town to me. Your cavalry arrested me at the time when I was intending to make Umrah. And now, what do you think?" So he's asking him, he says, "You know, I got arrested at this time when I wanted to make Umrah. So what should I do now?" Rasulullah gave him glad tidings of Jannah, congratulated him, and he said to him, "Go and perform the Umrah." And he taught him how to do it. He said, "Now you are a Muslim, so you are not going to make Umrah or Tawaf like the Mushrikeen, you know, without any clothes and so on." And he taught him the Talbiyah. So when he came to Makkah, he started calling the Talbiyah, "Labbaik Allahumma Rabbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Innal Hamda وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ." And someone said to him, "Have you become a Sabian?" They used to call them Sabai, the Muslims. And Thumama said, "No, by Allah, I have embraced Islam with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Allah. No, by Allah, not a single..." And then he said, "No, that by Allah, not a single grain of wheat will come to you from Yamama unless the Prophet ﷺ gives his permission." So this is what, because he was the chief in Yamama, and that was the route of the caravans which brought grain from some Syria and Iraq, those areas, down to Makkah. So he began calling out the Talbiyah in his, you know, resonant voice, "Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here I am at your command, O Rabb, O Lord, here I am, no partner have you, here I am, praise, bounty and dominion belong to you, no partner have you." So he was the first Muslim to enter Makkah reciting the Talbiyah. The Quraysh learned, they heard this Talbiyah, And they came out to punish the one who had assaulted the preserve, meaning, you know, men who came into Mecca and started doing now this is rather in a different way. So one of them got very incensed and he actually pulled out his arrow and he's about to shoot and kill Sumama bin Uthal radiallahu anhu, when the others grabbed him and they said, "Woe to you, do you know who this is? He is Sumama bin Uthal, the ruler of Al Yamama. By God, if you should harm him, his people would cut our supplies with dire consequences for us." He said, "Then we will be in serious trouble." Sumama radiallahu anhu finished performing Umrah and proclaimed that he followed the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then returned to his land and ordered his people to withhold supplies from the Quraysh. So the caravans of food, grains, which used to go to Mecca, stopped. The boycott gradually began to have an effect, raising prices and causing many to go hungry. Thereupon the Quraysh wrote to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him to instruct Sumama to lift the boycott as it violated the treaty of Hudaybiyah, which he then did. Now Sumama bin Uthal was not bound by Hudaybiyah, but they tried to use some, you know, way of influencing him. Then we have another similar story, Musaylimah al-Kazzab, Musaylimah the liar. His name was Ibn Habib al-Hanifi, which indicates that he was the son of Habib of the tribe of Banu Hanifa, which was, as I mentioned, one of the largest tribes of Arabia that inhabited the region of Yemen. The Banu Hanifa were a Christian branch of Banu Bakr and led an independent existence prior to Islam. Among the first records of Musaylimah is of him in the late 9th century Hijri, the year of delegation, when he accompanied a delegation of his tribe to Madinah. They had talks with Rasulullah. The delegation before their departure embraced Islam and denounced Christianity without compunction. Ibn Abbas said that a delegation of Ibn Abbas of the Lanwa, he narrates this, he said that a delegation of Banu Hanifa came to Rasulullah. Musaylimah al-Kazzab was with them. He said, "If Muhammad makes me his successor, I will accept his religion." Rasulullah went to their camp with Thabit bin Qais bin Shimas radiallahu anhu. He had a piece of dry palm leaf stalk in his hand. Rasulullah said to Musaylimah, "I will not even give you this if you ask me." He showed him the piece of dry leaf stalk that he was holding. And he said, "You will not escape what Allah has decreed for you. And if you leave, Allah will destroy you. And I think you are the one I saw in what I saw. Here is Thabit, who will speak to you on my behalf." And Thabit bin Qais presented Islam to them and Rasulullah left. Rasulullah said, "When I was asleep, I saw two gold bracelets on my arms. I was told to blow them away. I did, and they flew away. I interpreted them to mean the two liars who would come after me, Aswad al-Ansi and Musaylimah al-Kazzab." Aswad al-Ansi was in Yemen and Musaylimah was in Yamama in the Najd. While at Yamama, Musaylimah proclaimed his prophethood and he sent a letter to Rasulullah which said, "From Musaylimah, the messenger of Allah, to Muhammad Rasulullah." So he's making up all these titles and whatnot and trying to pretend to be a Rasul. Then he said, "Assalamu alaikum. I have been involved in the affair with you. Half of it belongs to us and half of it belongs to the Quraysh. But the Quraysh are a people who transgress." So this is some kind of letter he wrote. So he was making an offer, offer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, effectively to say that the so-called kingdom should be split between him and Rasulullah. Amazing case of somebody who has no leverage and is trying to, you know, negotiate and trying to pretend to be somebody. Rasulullah replied to him, he said, from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Musaylima al-Kazzab, he said, he's a liar. Peace be on those who are on right guidance. Thereafter, the earth belongs to Allah and He will give it to whoever He wills. And the end belongs to the righteous. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Then he asked those who brought the letter from Musaylimah, do you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? They said, we believe that Musaylimah is the messenger of Allah. So Rasulullah said, I believe in Allah and His messengers, and if I would have killed any messenger, I would have killed you. Meaning he didn't kill them. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, it became a sunnah that messengers should not be killed. So this was accepted principle which it was. After Rasulullah passed away, Musaylimah collected an army and rose up against Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but his forces were defeated by Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and Musaylimah was killed by Wahshi bin Harb in the Battle of Yamama. Then we come to the another incident, which is the delegation from the Christians in Najran. The people in Najran, they were Christian, and they asked many questions about the nature of Isa alayhi salam and many other matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed many ayat in Surah Al Imran about this. The Aqib and Sayyid from Najran came and they wanted to do mula'ana or mubahala, where the two parties, in a case where there is no material evidence or way of proving something, the two parties would ask Allah to send down His wrath on the liar. So they said, this is my position, this is the other position. Whoever is a liar, may Allah destroy them. But when the time came to do that, so they said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are you ready to do that? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I will bring my family, you come, and we ask Allah to destroy the one who is on falsehood. So when the time came, they refused. Because they said, if He is indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, then it will be the end of us. They knew the truth, but did not want to believe or accept it. However, they agreed to pay jizya, the tax, and asked for a trustworthy person to be sent. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will send with you a man who is truly trustworthy. And then he said, Qum ya Abu Ubaidah. And that is where Abu Ubaidah bin Amr bin Jarrah became, and he got the title of Amin ul Ummah, trustworthy of the Ummah. There is an interesting incident in this whole thing where these people from Najran, one of the bishops, his brother was also with them. So as they were leaving, the brother said to him, he asked his brother, who was the scholar, he said, tell me, who is right? I mean, is this person Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he right or are we right? The man said, no, he is right. He is the messenger of Allah. And we are not right. So this brother said, then why didn't we accept? He is the messenger of Allah. You are saying that. He said, are you sure? He said, absolutely sure. He said, there is no doubt about it. He is the messenger of Allah. So he said, then why didn't we accept? He said, if we accept, then what will Heraclius do? He said, Heraclius pays us. We get money from Heraclius. So he said, if we accept that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the messenger of Allah, then how will we take money from Heraclius? We will become poor. Now this brother got so disgusted with this that he left them. He came back to Medina and he accepted Islam and he stayed there. So it shows that these are things that you see in the Seerah, which are a very big lesson for us, both with the Christians and with the Jews of Medina, the Banu Nadir and so on, who were scholars. There were many of them, many of the scholars, they accepted, they knew that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the truth. But their own egos, their own personal considerations, their own greed came in the way, and they never accepted Islam. So also with Abu Jahl, Abu Jahl knew. They asked him, he said, yes, of course, there is no doubt about this. He said, why don't you accept? He said, because then that branch of the family will become more powerful than us. So it's a big lesson for us to say that many times it's not that we don't know the truth. It is that we don't want to accept the truth. And that is where the problem comes, is to accept the truth, not the question of knowing. We know, but if we don't accept, then it doesn't do us any good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up, to show us the truth as truth, and to show and to guide us to follow it, and to show us the falsehood as falsehood, and to save us from following it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك ورحمة الله.